Hey guys, awesome episode today. We got a guy bringing up his ex. Do you have to be drunk to be on a good first date? And a follow-up to the Irish adventure. Check it out, enjoy, share with friends. Welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City's Harlem. Harlem, baby, every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It feels amazing to see the growth of this show every week. More listeners, more audience members here in Harlem. It's crazy. More audience members here in Harlem. It's nuts. More audience members here in Harlem.
They're timid.
I had to really get it out of them. I'm happy they're here. And I'm very excited. And OKP.
Uh-oh. Guest chiming in early.
That's a guest chiming in early. It's an early chime. But very excited to have her here. Allison Leiby, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Such a
pleasure. Coming here.
How's it going? What's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I always have nothing happening. Or everything. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Is this morning zoo now?
This
I love
is morning.
It.
We're going full zoo.
Yeah.
Rate, review, subscribe.
That's right. We need
man.
You to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast.
Is that supposed to be vaguely Law and Order?
It's very Law and Order-y. It's very harsh. The crowd loves you.
Well, they didn't love you at first.
No, so I couldn't even get a reaction out of them. I was wondering what they
honored.
Were doing. So I'm very excited to have Allison here. She's one of my favorite guests to have. What are we talking? Nothing? You got nothing.
I'm doing stand-up writing.
Yeah,
crap.
And you wrote for the President's Show,
yes.
And they're going to do a special episode, yes. October 22nd on Comedy Central.
It's going to be off the rails.
Now, the President's Show was great, and then Comedy Central did what they do, and they were like, okay.
Cancel shows and not give things chances.
And then they're like, but we still like it, and we're going to keep bringing it back.
They know that people like it, and I feel like they didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, how about some specials? And we were like, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's got, in these writing situations, you know, usually you write for a show, you're there every day, it's a job.
Yeah.
This is like not we're getting a job. The gang back together.
Yeah, it's like a... Neil called it a structured hang.
It's structured hang.
Like, that's literally what it was every day. We just went in and we hung out, and then eventually we cranked out a script.
That's kind of a lot of what comedy things turn into. Like,
yeah.
We're doing the, you know, the live podcast, and I'm trying to, you know, we're trying to work with what, you know, what will the show be? I want to make sure there's segments, but a lot
sure.
of it comes down to, like, the last second of trying to, like, get together all these things.
Yeah.
Like, the you know, I'm trying to get dating app makeovers. I'm trying to get people's texts to read on stage, and you're not sure how it's going to come out until, like, the last possible second.
Yeah. I mean, the first, like, week we were there, we were just in a room writing crazy. I have, like, pictures of the board where I'm like, what? None of this made it into the show. but it's very funny, and I'm excited. I was with Anthony last night getting real wine drunk. And
there we go. What are you drinking wine-wise these days?
You know, I'm very, you know, when I'm having, like, a good wine, like, I'm very into the high skin contact orange wines.
Orange wine.
It's a little sour.
Really?
Very good.
What would be an orange wine? Like, what would it be called?
I
want the orange.
Well, that like it'll it would be like separated on
yeah, the restaurant. I'll have the orange, please.
Yes, and then also the kiwi. No.
Yeah.
But it's very good. It's kind of refreshing. It's in between a red and a white, you know.
Is it fallish? Does it feel fall?
I find that it's fallish.
Yeah.
A little summery. It's kind of got like a little like tart.
I like
to
that.
It.
You'd
like it.
I'd like it. I just like with my drinking, I want it to match the environment I'm in.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, like if I'm in a cold, like I was just, it's weird because last week, this is coming out on Tuesday. If you're in Chicago, I think there might be some tickets left. Zanies, I'm there tonight. But I'm traveling. It's weird to go
yeah.
from like Cleveland to Dallas Because Cleveland, you're like, I just want a whiskey.
Yeah.
I want it to be cold. I want to be in my sweatshirt.
Yes.
And then you go to Dallas and you're like,
it's hot and I'm eating meat.
Yeah. And it's like, I guess give me, you know, and then you're like, but I want to go back to whiskey time.
Yeah.
I'm just used to four seasons.
Yeah. I can't. That's the worst thing about Los Angeles. I was like, so we're just going to drink white all year.
All year. I can't do that.
I can't do that. I need like the warm, like I want a hot toddy sometimes.
Yes.
I want like a deep red.
There are drinks that you feel bad about yourself for drinking in certain weathers.
Yes.
Like if I had like a whiskey.
Right in, now?
It'd be
it's too, 80 degrees
it's
outside.
It's too much.
It's too much.
It's too much. I need white wine. I need a spritzer.
Yeah,
I love
a spritzer. Yeah, I've been making a lot of UCB spritzers where I'm like, give me the big cup, pour a bunch of white wine in it, and I'm going to top it off with a seltzer.
What, a UCB spritzer?
Like when I'm there. That's like because they don't have like any.
Okay.
They have a white, a red, and three beers.
I mean, Aperol Spritz had a moment this summer, but
yes.
It wasn't on the level of the
like rosé.
The rosé craze.
Yeah. I'm glad. I don't want people taking over my deep love of bitter drinks.
Interesting. Why is that?
I don't know. I want to be like a pretentious asshole.
Yeah. You want to
like,
say I'll have Aperol Spritz.
Yeah. I'll have a Campari and soda.
Yeah.
Which is my like drink all day drink.
Well, I think the reason it's funny that it shows the laziness of people. Like
yes.
Rosé is just easy to say.
Yeah.
You sound funny right away. You know what you ordered. You
right.
ordered wine.
You can identify it. Like people don't know like what Aperol is and like what's in that drink.
It takes a level up.
Yes.
To be
and I will
douche.
Level up on alcohol all the time.
But it is, it's funny because like, you know, we talk a lot about dating and dating apps. And the one thing that I've come a lot of the dating app makeovers lately, I've been calling these millennial Mad Libs.
Yes, that's what they are.
Where people are doing the easy joke.
Right.
The easy thing that we all talk about.
Yes.
It's easy to go, I love pizza. I'm a Ninja Turtle. You know, it's like, but that's kind of where Rosé comes in, where it's like, that joke is easy to make.
Yeah. Love it. My favorite. Yeah.
Oh, rosé all day.
My favorite juice is rosé.
Yeah.
Like, just really
exactly.
terrible.
And now there's rosé flavored like beers and shit. Like you can get like rosé. You can get rosé
ice
cream.
Now like frosé is a whole thing. And years ago, my friend Andrea and I made it. And we were like, how are people not doing this?
This is the thing. It's jokes have a moment where it's like you have to be 10 seconds ahead.
Yes. Yes.
And then the minute those 10 seconds are up, you're behind.
Yes, exactly.
Like today is, we're taping, I'll take you behind the curtains. It's October 3rd. Today is Mean Girls Day.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when that like first started happening? And when you, and I was talking about it with the girls from Betches, because like for them, Mean Girls Day is like,
it's like
that's
a real
a day.
That's a real holiday.
they have to celebrate appropriately.
Yes, yeah.
Which,
there's
totally
planning.
Get it.
There's,
they got memes they got to put
everything.
Out. They have an entertainment stockpile that they have to put out for this day.
Yes.
And we were talking about it, and I was like, it's funny that those things are fun to see and then get old in 5 seconds.
Yeah, the second one you see is bad.
You're like, get
like
out of my fucking life.
The first one you love and the second one you hate.
And I compared it to the It's Gonna Be May.
Yes, it's
and
the same.
You see the It's Gonna Be May, when the first one you see, you go, like this
all
one.
All right, that's fun.
The second one, you're like, fuck
get,
off.
Get out of my feed, you, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
I hate you.
You unoriginal asshole. You didn't see. And it's like, we all saw the first one.
Right.
We don't need yours on top of it.
And then there's like the people who try and like invert the joke a little bit and like try and do like they'll post that on April 1st. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. And then now like even Justin, like the internet, the beauty and the sad part of the internet is we know the drill.
Right.
There's the joke.
There's a cycle.
And then there's the joke about the joke. And then it's the person who the joke is on is now in on the joke.
Right.
Like
and
Justin
then it's
Timberlake
the person that's like, serious question, what's a Justin Timberlake?
Or
like,
yeah.
You know, like they have to
now
act,
we have to break it
like
down.
They, yeah, exactly. Like they have to like.
Yeah. A lot of laughs.
Crowd's loving it.
But yeah, and then when you know the beats of the internet, you can play against it.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing on my Instagram. Like, I know there are certain jokes that I make that I'm like, I know what's going on today.
Yes.
And why this will work. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I don't
yeah,
know.
I don't know. sometimes I'm like, what am I devoting my life to here?
All right, well, listen, every single day. Let's do some emails. You ready?
Let's, yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Go follow Allison on Twitter and Instagram, @AllisonLibe on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow, go support. So funny. President's Show, October 22nd on Comedy Central. Let's just go into the inbox.
Let's go.
You know the show.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Thank you. There we go. Someone sent in, I'm just off the top. There's an article about a American Airlines flight diverted because of pull-ups. I'm going to send this to you, Shelby. I'm going to forward this to you. Is that okay? There we go.
Oh, you've switched to someone, new Gmail?
I hate when they switch.
Stop changing it. It's so good the way it was before this. I don't need canned replies. I'm not like so busy that I can't write, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, the canned replies are just weird. I just don't like, I know why there's certain things that, I know that we all hate change. Like we're all like, oh, okay, anything that's different is just awful. Terrible. Right away. And then we get used to it and then we get mad at the next change.
Right.
But it did feel like we didn't need this. Gmail just needs to just relax.
Yeah.
This is something that is in our lives in the same way that like a toothbrush is in our lives at this point.
Right. I've committed to it. I've chosen Gmail. I didn't choose Yahoo, like whatever else people use. So just leave it the way it is. I picked this.
I've chosen this.
Don't change it.
Ex-girlfriend alert, help.
Ooh. I love when people say help.
I love a help one.
Help.
Jared. I look forward to the podcast every week. Keep up the good work. I've been seeing this guy for about a month. We met on Hinge. We hit it off right away, see each other every couple of times a week, and discovered he's good friends with my best friend's boyfriend. He's good friends with my best friend's boyfriend. Okay, so this is good. She writes in parentheses, basically the aunt theory.
Yes.
You know my aunt theory.
Yes, I do. This is just the digital version of it.
The digital version. You have people
it's
that are watching
it. It's weird that you haven't
you.
Met your best friend's boyfriend's very good friend, but maybe they haven't been together very long.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're all new relationships.
Yeah.
Only one thing is a turnoff for me. He's brought up his ex 4 to 5 times. So I've been seeing this guy a month. Over the course of a month.
That's a lot.
Four to five times.
That's over one a week.
They dated for 2 years, broke up in April. Okay, so this is not April. We're in October. At first, I didn't think it was that weird because I talked about my ex as well, too. When we went to his cottage for a night, and on our way there, he told me his dog had a seizure the previous night. He told me he called his ex-girlfriend because she is in her final year of vet school and asked her what to do. I was pretty turned off at this point, but not say anything to him right then. What would you think of that?
I would get it. I don't know a lot of other, I don't know. It's not like you know a lot of vets.
Hit up that page.
Shelby, you okay?
Misfire.
Just want to... Listen, we're getting through the kinks of these drops, but we like them. Okay.
I don't know anybody with a cottage either.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I mean, this feels very Midwestern.
Yes.
The cottage thing, I know people who have lived in the Midwest, they go, you know, as...
You have like a lake house or a cottage. Yeah.
Cottage, or they rent a cottage for the winter.
Sure.
And this is like the beginning of that season. Come to my cottage, we go do hikes and stuff.
But the vet thing, I'm like... If that was the only time, I'd be like, all right. I mean, that makes sense. She's in vet school. His dog had a seizure. Like, what are you going to do? Call, like, your friend who's a lawyer?
Are you going to, like, open
what's
the yellow
gonna
page?
It's not like he's going to call her.
Yeah,
like,
you're not going to Google vet when you have a vet in your life.
But if he's been talking about her a bunch and then did that, then it feels kind of like, okay.
After talking with a friend who also is an avid listener of this podcast, she insisted that this is a deal breaker and that there's red flags everywhere. I sent him a police message stating the amount he brought up his ex was a bit off-putting, and I told him to let me know when he's ready to date again because I enjoyed his company. He asked me to do lunch to explain. We got together, he apologized, and said the only reason he called her is because she is almost a vet and thought she would be helpful. He told me he wanted to... He told me he wanted to be open with me about calling his ex. He explained he doesn't have feelings for her anymore. They just have a lot of mutual friends, and their break was very amicable, saying they both saw it coming for a long time. My question is, what do I do next? Do I give him the benefit of the doubt, continue to see where this goes because we get along so well, or should I not be so blinded by my emotional masturbation? What do you think?
I wish I knew more of the contexts in which he was bringing her up at other times. Like, that's a little tough.
This one feels fine to me.
Me too.
Dog, like, there's no left turn in this series
yes,
of events.
Yes, that makes sense to me.
If dog seizure, vet, final year of vet school,
right.
That's who
you're,
you call.
And you're on speaking term. Like,
yeah.
Fine. And, like, I don't think it's, like, crazy when people, I mean, they broke up in April, it's October, that's, what, 6 months? Like,
yes.
You know, they broke up a while ago. If they are friends, then, like, you just have to know if you're okay. Like, if they have, like, they have a lot of mutual friends and yeah. it was amicable, they're probably friends with each other and she'll be around at some point.
She's going to be around until she's not anymore.
Yes.
And that is to say, it does take time to, like, unstitch.
Absolutely.
This whole life. They were together 2 years and they share friends.
Yeah.
This all makes sense. Her getting brought up in the vet scenario.
Fine.
Let's put that aside.
Yeah.
Her getting brought up in the, hey, we just broke up. It was amicable. Some, especially when it's amicable like that.
Yeah.
You are friends at the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
You're not even into each other.
Right. You're just like, oh, we work as friends.
Yes. And that's not to say they're going to be friends forever.
No, but they are right now.
They are right now. They're just trying to get rid of that.
Yeah.
And the more serious he gets with you or whoever the girl becomes, the more that ex is going to just go away.
Yeah.
But I
don't think it's a deal breaker. I think it's something
neither.
To like keep an eye on and like and notice how you're feeling about it. Like if you're starting to be like, all right, he brings her up almost every time we hang out, then it bothers you enough that you're not going to enjoy being with him.
But
if it's just every once in a while because like he has friends that are hanging out with her and like whatever, then, you know.
But you also don't want to put him in a position where the thought police is out.
Right.
Like because
right.
you did say, hey, I brought up my ex too. That's I think talking about exes is like the most normal part of getting to know someone. It's
yeah.
so important. What's your, where'd you come from? Where do you go?
Right.
And it's like, that's totally okay. It's, there's points where it's weird. If he's like, well, my ex did this in bed, I'd be like, okay.
Maybe we don't need that information.
We didn't need that information. You can give enough.
Right.
And I do understand where he's like, I want to be open with you because I just called my ex.
I'd rather, if I were her, I'd rather he tell me about it than me like weirdly find out like a month later that like, after this like traumatic thing, he like called his ex-girlfriend
yeah.
and didn't tell me.
And, totally. And the longer he keeps it in, the longer it becomes like, well, I'm hiding it because I, you know, she'll know
right.
I have feelings for her. I wouldn't want to be in that position later because that's what, you know, you said
right.
to him. Well, I'm glad you said something, but I'm also not happy that you were like, come back when you're ready to date.
Yeah.
Because
he is ready to date. He's dating you.
Yeah. He's dating you and he's seeing you a couple times a week. I would go back to him.
Yeah. I would definitely like hang out and kind of just see what happens. Like,
yeah,
you'll get the sense after it's been a month. Like, I don't think a month is a super long time. And you probably saw each other, what, like once or twice a week, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a
couple times a week and discovered he's good friends with my best friend's boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
So like,
that's right. I forgot about that wrinkle.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
he's
so
good
like,
friends with the best friends. Well, this is all good stuff.
Yeah.
You have the making. I think you're getting a little in your own way where just be if this was not an ex.
And it was just a girl he was friends with.
You'd be like, oh, that's just a good friend of his.
Right.
And I think it needs more time.
Yeah. I say keep going.
Keep going. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Shy guy or not into it?
Oh.
JTrain, the boy and I used to, this boy and I used to hook up, but then based off timing situations, stopped talking when we graduated school. Fast forward a year into working, we recently hooked up again. He's always been really shy around me and comes off nervous until he gets pretty drunk when talking to me. After the recent hookup, we Snapchatted occasionally, and he'll sometimes message me on Snap, Insta. We never really text, but recently he texted me. It was something very random. I continued the conversation the next day, and he seemed pretty responsive, but seemed to fizzle out after that. I don't want to give the excuse that he's shy and that he's not asking me out, but I don't quite know what the play is here. He seems relatively responsive to me, and I'm not opposed to texting first. I just can't tell if he's uninterested, don't want to put myself out there if he's not into it. I just really can't tell what he's thinking, which is probably not a good thing. So can shy really be an excuse for a guy? Is it all take sometimes a little forwardness from the girl to make something happen? Or if a guy likes a girl enough, shy or not, he'll make a move. If I should text him, is there anything in particular I should say? I know cuffing season is right around the corner, so not sure if it's better to play the long game and be very forward with him right off the bat. What's the best way to send in the situation like this, or should I just completely try? Forget about this guy. I know he's not hooking up with other girls, and he's not using me for sex because we haven't fucked yet.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if that adds anything to the situation, but I felt I should add that in case it does. What do you think?
How do you know he's not hooking up with other girls?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I don't know. There's no way to know that.
There's no way to know that. Also, you haven't had sex yet. Has there been other stuff? Have you slept over?
Well, she said they hooked up, right?
Yeah, they said they hooked up.
So, I don't, you know, if you're really into it, I'd say just, like, go for it. And if he's, like, he responds to you.
I don't think shy is an excuse to a certain extent.
There are guys who would be, like, slower to do something out of just being nervous.
Yeah, I think that's more on the approach.
Yeah.
To me, this is, this guy... I think also with shy guy, it's more because she writes used to hook up, but then based off timing, living situation, stopped talking when we graduated school.
Right.
So, okay. You've been a customer at his store.
Yes.
Okay. So fast forward a year. We recently hooked up again, a year into working.
Right.
Okay. Shy guy is shy with other girls.
Yes.
You
would be the comfortable one.
And that's why he's coming back to you. So I don't think it's going to get more than this.
No, I feel like it's a convenience thing.
Yes.
Like, you know, you graduated school and you stopped hooking up. Like, it meant that the context was what facilitated that happening so easily. I'd say it's probably an every once in a while thing, which if you're down for an every once in a while thing, then keep going. And if that isn't enough for you, then don't do it anymore.
Yeah. If you think this is going to be more...
I don't think it's going to turn into more. I get the vibe that he's probably like not looking for a relationship. This is easy and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And he likes doing that. He likes hooking up with
you. He enjoys you.
Yeah. He texts you like...
Easy doesn't mean you're easy. It means that this situation is easy.
Yeah, that he knows that it's you've been there before. He's comfortable.
For shy guy, you can get in this situation with shy guy because you, first of all, he's let off the hook by his reputation. So you've already said, well, he's shy, so he won't get in touch with me. No, he's just getting in touch with you when it's convenient for him. And you're someone... who he doesn't have to get embarrassed by.
Right. There's
because you've already had stuff.
Yeah. Right. There's if not going to be the rejection.
It's more likely for him to do this until forever.
Yeah. He'll do this until he has to stop.
Until he has to stop. So, with Shy Guy, that's kind of what happens with him.
Yes.
He's a pussy.
Yes.
So he doesn't want to approach new girls.
Right. So he'll keep
being Shy Guy to you, but that's really him just... texting you whenever it's convenient for him because he's responding to Instagram and Snap stories because that gives him a reason to reach out and he knows that you will not look at him and go, fuck off, loser.
Right. It's a very low stakes engagement.
Yes. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I love that we just bang these out.
Yeah.
Have to be drunk for a good first date? Do you have to be drunk for a first? This is the title of this email. Do you have to be drunk for a good first date? Do you?
No.
No.
I don't think so. Oh.
No, I'm with the noise and you. I
have lots of thoughts. I want to hear what this is.
Okay. Feather all the way from Murray Hill.
Oh.
I wish I had a heat map of where listeners come from.
Yes.
The deepest red would be Murray Hill.
Murray Hill, I would feel has a lot of questions.
Love your podcast. Love listening on my commute. Debriefing with all my friends at work. Also, I'm a Penn Stater. Hope you had a fabulous time in State College yesterday. Can't wait to see the review on your Insta. I put up my review. So I've been doing this thing. This will sidetrack us for a moment. I've been going to these. How low will you go? Is every Tuesday on Snapchat. Go subscribe. It helps me personally. Even if you don't, you're like, I don't like Snapchat. Please
just open it and leave it open for a minute.
Yeah, just fucking leave it open so I get the numbers. it's paying some bills.
Yeah.
So, but every Saturday I go to a different college football game.
Right.
And what I've been loving doing is I have these so many flights and shit.
Yeah, you're on a lot of planes. A
lot of planes. And I take like an hour while I'm waiting and I write up this like, just like a snapshot shot of what the vibe was for me as a visitor.
Yes.
And the reason I do it is because... when people get into college conversations, it's so emotional.
Yes. It's their school.
Their
thing.
Their experience. You don't get it. You have to see this restaurant.
Yeah.
Like whenever I go to a school and I ask where to eat, they'll go, you got to get the wings. And you're like,
the wings are never the thing, the destination food.
Every food.
Unless you're in Buffalo.
Unless you're in Buffalo, what I've also realized, college towns have the worst fucking food.
Yeah, they do, because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All it has to be is a big fucking pile of slop for low money.
Yes, exactly. And can you share it with everybody you live with?
Yes. Great. And everyone's like, oh, you gotta try the cheese sticks. I've had cheese sticks.
Yeah, I'm good.
I've done it.
You gotta follow the Tom Segura method. You say, where do the rich people eat?
Yes. That's what my favorite.
I think about that every time I go to another city.
Because I have said that. I've said that with the restaurant. And then always college go, oh, you gotta go to Rick's or whatever.
I don't wanna go eat anywhere
Joe's.
Called Rick's.
Yeah, yeah. And I go, well, what's Joe's have? They got a wings. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, are they good wings? Like, what type? And like
just our wings.
Yeah, no, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, yeah, that's not how I'm judging
food.
They're
a penny each. I don't want to eat that.
Yeah, that's not the question I fucking asked. You know, like, I want three delicious wings over
100.
A hundred fuck wings, you know? So
fuck wings.
Yeah. So, but you go to these towns, and the reason I do the review, and I get so many responses that are like, well, you didn't see this. Or like, I don't want to be hateful.
No.
I'm just trying to tell people.
I came to campus. This is what I saw.
It cost me nothing to go there. So a lot of people connect when they review something, they connect the cost.
Yes. Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? And I'm saying I feel like the standpoint I'm at is like, I just want to tell you what's going on.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing.
Penn State.
As a man in his 30s.
Man in his 30s at a college town. Penn State was great. It was fun to go back.
When was the last time you had been back?
It'd been a while. Yeah. It had been like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. I had gone back for like doing shows.
Yeah,
I remember. Came with me.
I did not.
You did not?
No, it was... We went somewhere else.
But I brought a lot of comics there to do shows at fraternity. And then I stopped after a while because it just wasn't the right place for a comedy show.
Yeah.
But I also, even when I did those shows, the town has changed a lot. So much money has come into State College. And it's like, you do feel like you're in I wrote it on my Instagram. You can go to my highlights. It's called Plain Thoughts on My Highlights. But it's just the amount, it is such a bubble there.
Yeah.
And
that's so many camp. Like, I feel like if I went back to Cornell right now, I'd be like, you guys don't know anything.
You don't know anything, but you know what the one thing, the bubble of Penn State is so much more because there's not even a thought of like jobs. Like everyone there, you're in fan, and especially
you're living
football,
in college until the day you leave college.
The day you leave college. And it is like, there's no internship. There's no, and maybe even if you do, you're like, no, I did one. You didn't. It's not like you were, you know, so you did one over the summer, you know, like it's like, and it's just, it's a wild experience to go into these places and just see what it's like. And Penn State was fun. It is like, it's like going to, I wrote this in the thing. It's like going to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
College tailgate, the experience.
Yes. That's what I would imagine it is.
And because it was the one school where old men got together with all their old buddies. And they're the ones starting the cheers at the bar. They turned into the kids they were.
Yeah.
So it was great. I had a good time.
That's great.
Penn State. This episode will air. I'll just have left Miami. And then I'm coming to Texas this week. So this Thursday I'll be at TCU. This weekend I'll be at Texas and Austin, then Nebraska, then Georgia, then LSU, then USC, then Louisville, then UCLA. It's a long fucking thing.
It's a long month.
So watch that show. Anyways,
what was this about?
I've been going on a crap ton of dates this year as part of a New Year's resolution, all from the apps thus far. And then she writes, boring, I know. I don't think it's boring.
No.
I've almost written into you multiple times about things that have happened on this escapade, but I've noticed a pattern that was the final straw in inspiring me to write. Of my escapades this year, I'm averaging 2 dates with a makeout, no hooking up, ranging from 1 date, no kiss, to 4 dates and fucking all the and everything in between. I think I averaged that correctly. So hold on.
What? What's that, Matt?
This New Year's resolution is crazy to me.
To go on, is the New Year's resolution to just go on as many dates as you
can? I wish she explained it as part of a New Year's resolution. But
I'm imagining it's to date more.
It's to get out there.
And
she said she's going on averaging 2 dates with a makeout.
Oh, so most of the relationships are ending after 2 dates and you've had a makeout.
Yeah.
Some are 1 with nothing. Some are 4 with fucking.
Yes.
Okay.
The pattern I've noticed is that on the first date, I almost only ever think it was a good date if I was drunk/tipsy. If I only have one drink, I find myself overanalyzing everything they say slash do. I.e., he didn't play sports, team sports growing up, what the fuck, loser, and sometimes not getting super horny. I'm not one of those people who can only be social when drinking. I'm very outgoing, etc. But when it comes to first dates, it seems to always be the case. An example of how this is impacting me, went on a date this Tuesday with a guy, but only wanted one drink because I had an interview the next day. I liked him, but I also think he might be a little off, not positive. Do I force myself to go on another date and find out or write him off? If I was drunk, would I have liked him more? For reference, I'm 25, self-proclaimed 7'6", 9".
Yep.
Face, body, personality, guys or girls can use it. She gave an Instagram account. We'll go look her up if I must. She's very cute.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't not.
Well, there's a lot of different people.
Yeah, there's not. I think that's her. Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, going on a lot of dates. Cute. There's great. The family. We're into it.
You seem fun.
Seems fun. No, I don't have a drinking problem. This might be a boring email because you could answer. It could be as simple as you're not dating the right guys as if they don't make you super horny. But I thought it was worth emailing because I'm sure others feel this. Would love to hear your thoughts, suggestions, on the predicament above. So do you think, like the way she spells it out, what do you think?
I think alcohol provides rose-colored glasses, even in hindsight. There are a lot of nights I've been out, not dates, but just nights I've been out where I wake up in the morning, I'm like, last night was so fun. And then, like, if you really parse through what happened, it was fine.
Yeah.
So I think that it's probably more of a hindsight thing. Like, you're looking back and being like, that was a really great date. It depends how drunk they're getting, too. If you guys are out, I don't know, drink or don't drink, whatever you want. But, like, there is something where, like, if you decide to keep hanging out, you're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you just had one drink, well, that's only 45 minutes.
Yeah.
If you have four drinks, depending on, like, you've been hanging out for a couple hours, you've gotten to know them a little bit more. They want to keep getting another drink.
Well, that's what I think. I think it's more, she's saying, is it A or B? A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
So the good dates, you drink more because you're comfortable with the date.
Right. And they're like lasting longer and you guys are
the conversation's
vibing.
Good. There's never a moment where you go, and then you go and the waitress comes over and goes, another drink. And you go, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that to me, even when she said she had the interview the next day, I don't think she liked the guy going in.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have planned
schedule a date
the night before an interview.
Right. If you surprise got an interview, you would probably try and move it. If you were like, I kind of want to make this a thing.
Yeah.
You'd make it a Friday.
I
want to, like,
yeah, let's do a different night. I want to meet this person. I got that interview the next day. I don't want to get too drunk because I know this person has been great over text. The thing about these apps, and I think she's using them right, even though she claims it's boring. I don't think it's boring.
I don't think it's boring.
I think she's using, you know, when you're excited. I think her bigger issue is that she's stuck in this agreement she made with herself on New Year's.
Right.
Where she's
you
like,
you don't have to. I hope there's not a number associated. It's not like go on 50 dates and.
I hate that because now she's just trying to get out of the house to get out of the house.
Right.
And it's becoming a chore.
Right.
So that I could understand fully why she would be like, yeah, some dates I'm getting drunk and having a great time and some I'm like, and the ones I don't get drunk, it's because you're forcing yourself to go.
Right.
And so you're saying, well, I have to go anyways, but I'm only going to have one drink because this guy kind of sucks anyways.
Right, right. You're already talking yourself out of it.
Totally.
Before you get there. So yeah. I think it yes, it is part like what she said. She's like, I know you're just going to say like, it's the guys you're going out with, but like, it's also how you're approaching going out with them.
Yeah, it's not even the guys you're going out with. It's that you are treating this like it's a math equation.
Right.
And then you're looking back on the math going, well, I only had one drink on. And that makes sense from a math standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint.
Right, that's not the whole story.
That's not the whole story. You're walking in going, oh, the messages over Hinge have been awesome with this guy.
Right.
Oh, man, I'm ready to drink right away.
Yeah.
I'm ready to have fun. And then with, you know, Joe Blow, you were like, I got to get this over with.
Yeah, I guess I can only have one drink because I got that interview tomorrow and I'm really thinking about that and not about him.
Yeah.
And, you know,
this is a trip to the gyno.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no?
Same?
You've never been to one.
No. Okay. I haven't? Oh, yeah, you're right. No, but I do hear what she's saying, but I think she has to, we need to stop treating dating as jobs.
Yes.
And you're 25, you're young, you're beautiful, it's going to be fine. You got nothing but, you know, I don't like even saying the time thing. Like, you're just going to be good.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, And then she says, am I being too hard? You're never too hard if you're like, if you ever go, don't go.
Right, right.
Just don't go.
You don't have to. You don't owe anyone anything. And like, it won't make you, like, there are some people that are like, go on a million dates because it's good practice. It gets you comfortable. But you're doing that already. So you don't need that. Value your time more.
People, we are sponsored. Loot Crate. Loot Crate. Loot Crate. Oh, I love this company. It's a monthly subscription box delivered to you, direct to your door with an exclusive pop culture, collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Crate curates, designs everything for themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. It's literally they're putting together a box of all the stuff you nerd out on and that you can get. So they got stuff from Nickelodeon, Harry Potter, Blizzard, Marvel, DC, WWE. So you can get a box of something that you're really into and it'll send it to you every month and you get a little gift to yourself. And Loot Crate packs $45 of value into each crate for less than $20 a month. Listen, people, this is a great gift. If you know someone's really into something, it's really thoughtful. This is also a great gift to yourself. If you like something and it's tough to go out to the store and say, I don't want to waste money on that. I don't want to put money. This is something that you take the thought out of your mind and you're like, you know what? I'm going to have fun with my thing every month. Nickelodeon, WWE, Fallout, DC, Marvel. So listen. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company, Geek Out in Style with Loot Crate. Subscribe now by going to Loot, that's LOOTCRATE.com/JTrain. LootCrate.com/JTrain. And you enter my code JTrain to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. Come on, people. 30% off, free money. You're welcome. So go to lootcrate.com/JTrain. Use my code JTrain to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/JTrain, code JTrain, 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/JTrain, my code JTrain, 30% off your subscription. Boom.
Now, can I do a follow-up email with you?
Yeah, of course.
I feel like we can.
Yeah, we're there.
You'll be able to get it right there. I'm very excited about this follow-up email.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
Now, we did an email a way back when with Chad Daniels. Do you remember this?
About a month and a half ago.
And there was a woman that was a divorced 37-year-old single mom, loves a podcast, changed my dating game. I have her email right here. I met an Irish guy traveling from my city one night. We went and had an amazing night. Our personalities clicked, stayed up all night having sex. Do you remember this email?
I do.
So she was wondering, you know.
It made me say.
Good email alert.
Yeah, it's a good email alert.
You've
but
got
Chad,
something for everything.
Chad Daniel gave great advice. And because he's like of a certain age and divorced and has kids.
Yeah,
and
so he knows it was where she's at.
So if you want to go back and listen to that episode and listen to the advice he gave. She has written back.
The guy from Ireland wanted her to come visit him in Ireland.
Yes, okay. In Ireland.
And she was asking, should she go?
I'll reread her email. Our personalities clicked. We stayed up all night having sex until his flight out, so he literally came and went. I never expected to hear from him again. Fast forward 2 weeks on his way home from assignment. He works for I won't say where he works. He messages me. We exchange flirty banter. He encouraged me to visit him in Ireland. What's his motivation? He's 36 and also a single parent. Does he want to fly in an international booty call? And an idea I'm comfortable with because I would love a vacation and a romp that comes with it. I feel like I should just enjoy the adventure and see if there's anything more from there. Is there a possibility of more? It would make a great story for us. Ladies love a story. So we answered this email.
Sure. Did you tell her to go?
We told her to go, right?
We did.
We said
I would
go.
Tell her to go.
Have fun.
Have
but
a vacation
also like,
and, yeah, know and then, what it is.
And also, I think Chad had a good idea where it was like, go early so that you can have the vacation on your own and then see him at the end.
Yeah.
And like, and you know, that type of thing. And we'll go back and listen if you haven't listened. Thanks for, she writes up, follow up. It was called An Amazing Dick Down Worth a Trip to Ireland.
Whoa.
Thanks for the wonderful advice. Many a shot of whiskey and pints of Guinness were enjoyed in your honor. I know it's usually a feather, but will you accept a shamrock to your nuts? I went on my adventure, and it was perfect. It was the right balance of being able to do my own thing and us spending time together. I even had a friendly dinner with another Irishman I had dated previously. I was upfront about it all. This woman's great.
You're like living an amazing life.
Yeah, what's going on? How did you know all these Irish international?
Where are you from that you're meeting all that you know all these Irish?
I think it was like the middle of the country, right?
What a twist.
This is great. I was upfront about it all. My plan was to not think beyond this trip and enjoy the moment. That was kind of our advice.
Yes.
But towards the end of the trip, he told me he loves me and asked if I would ever consider moving, which to me is insanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has a kid.
Yeah. And like a job and a life. And
what are more realistic scenarios at this stage? I also don't really want to dive deeper until he makes a return visit or at least makes a plan. Help me, King of Brunch. Do I have an infatuated? Do I have an infatuated Irishman or a cuckoo leprechaun on my hands? What do you think?
I mean, I'm interested to know how much they're communicating outside of these visits.
Mm.
Like, have you been talking like most days of the week? Are you texting a bunch? Are you doing phone calls and Skype and FaceTime and stuff?
Also, the time difference. I mean, that's
a tough. I would definitely, before doing anything else, want him to come back.
He's got to come here.
You went on that trip to see him. I mean, you went on a vacation.
You went on that trip for the vacation to see him and also the adventure.
Yeah.
Like, what you have to remember, and kind of like going back to what we were talking about with Penn State, where I was like, you went to Universal Studios, the college experience. What you did is you did the Universal Studios boyfriend relationship, the experience.
Yes. Yes.
And that's kind of what these long distance romps are like. You don't know. You gave him a spelled out amount of time.
Right.
So he had to be good for that amount of time, and that's it.
Right.
I'm not saying that he's lied to you or anything. Like, I'm just
but
saying.
But you didn't get the full picture of what it's, you know, like, I'm sure there wasn't a day in the short amount of time he had where he came home from work and was like pissed off about something and was like then unpleasant to be around. Like,
I remember, which happens
in real life.
I remember I went on Birthright with a friend of mine and we came back. And Birthright is, you know, Jews can go to Israel for free and go see the, you know, country, whatever.
So we procreate.
So we procreate, yeah. And I remember my buddy came back and he was dating a girl that didn't go on the trip. And he's like, am I, you know what? I'm having my kids call me Abba and Ima, which is mom and dad in Hebrew. And I go, and I remember being like, let the dust settle.
Yes.
On this trip.
Yes.
They are now, you know, not together anymore or whatever. Yes. But it's like him saying, would you ever move here? Is not crazy because you guys are having this romantic, fun-filled.
I could see that being said, and him being sincere about it.
Him just going, "Would you ever think about it?"
Right.
He's not asking you to move. He's just being like, "Would you ever even like
would that?" Is that in the world of possibilities?
Like, this is so. I the fact that he said it like means nothing to you moving or you guys being together, but it does mean something as to he was enjoying himself too.
Yes. Right. He would not have asked that if he
was having an awful time.
Yeah. If he was like, get this bitch out of here.
No.
You know, he clearly like wanted you to be there.
The next step has to be him saying, I'm coming for a weekend.
Yes.
And maybe spending more time together than you did when you went there.
Yeah. So if you were together for 4 days, like make it a full week.
Yeah. And I could see where it gets exhausting, Skyping and calling and the different time hours.
Yeah.
You say, listen, this is fun. I enjoyed my time with you then. I'm enjoying talking to you, but what's the plan?
Yeah.
And it's okay to be like,
we don't know. Yeah.
The only way we move forward is if, or in any way.
Right.
Is I'm here.
Yeah.
Love to have you.
Yes.
Be open to that. But I think, could you, you know, moving, is he, I don't think he's crazy. I think he's
caught up in
enjoying the Universal Studios
relationship experience.
Relationship experience.
Tina Turner lives in Switzerland.
So Tina Turner?
She's a Swiss expat.
Really? Why?
Good for her.
You know, she's just doing her thing.
Oh, thanks.
Just
doing her thing. Okay.
Crazier things have happened.
In Switzerland.
Yeah. Well, it's weirder. People have moved to weirder places. I think it's wonderful. But let's say this is wonderful. And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's he's in or out. I think it's let's see if he comes.
Yeah.
Keep us informed.
Yeah, I want to hear how this plays out.
Wedding ring blues.
Ooh.
Dear J Train, how much time we got left here?
We got plenty of time.
Plenty of
time. What an answer.
Dear J Train, longtime listener, first time emailer, love your podcast for my shitty drive to work every morning. Enough feathering, let's get to the backstory. I'm a 24-year-old and have recently gotten married.
Man or woman?
This is a woman.
Okay.
A lady email.
Yeah.
I feel like the women always say dear, and the guys are always like, yo, J-Train.
Yo, fuckhead.
Yeah, fuckhead. Yeah.
Yo, Jew.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got recently asked, this is way off topic. I'm not gonna enough feathering. Let's get to the backstory. I feel like this is going to be a juicy one.
I mean.
24 and have recently gotten married.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
My husband and I talked a lot about getting engaged and married, and and when we wanted it to occur, and ultimately he went and bought a ring and made the decision for us. However, my one thing I mentioned to him was that I didn't want him to buy a super expensive engagement ring. This was because we were, at the time, living in my parents' basement, just finished college, and we just wanted to purchase a home and save for a wedding. The ring he bought me is very small compared to the average ring I see on other women's left hands. I know it sounds cheesy, but I honestly love my rings. I'm not a jewelry wearer, so the fact that it's small means that I'll wear it even more often.
True.
After we got the house, the wedding, and the amazing honeymoon that we wanted. However, when people hear I'm married, they want to see the ring. And when I show them, their face usually falls and they say something like, oh, cute. Women are brutal.
Pieces of shit.
They're just brutal.
No one is meaner to women than women.
I mean, this is like one of those things. And you know what's funny? I do a joke at shows about destination weddings.
Yeah.
And then when I reveal, I tell a story about one that I went to. And I say the place, there's someone in the room that will go, that's not a destination.
If it's in the continental United States, it's usually not a destination wedding to people. And it's like, they're just fucking getting married.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Neither person lives there, so it's a destination.
Exactly. That's right. If I got on a plane to a place you think is cute,
right?
That's a destination.
I don't care how long the flight was.
No.
I'm getting on a plane.
Yes. And
so are you.
But it's you, and it's always a woman.
Always.
And it's always a woman that's like, and says it shitty.
I mean, the wedding industrial complex is a tool of the patriarchy. Oh. I think that like the ways that women obsess over weddings, and I'm like, the time we would have to do everything else. Like,
and also all these women that are just born wedding experts.
Yes.
Every woman's a wedding expert.
I'm like,
every
I'm pretty
woman
sure
has
you're
good
an,
taste.
You're a publicist, Shannon. You're not an interior designer or a florist.
You have no, and everyone has just God gifted you the ability.
Yeah.
I got an opinion on weddings.
Yeah.
I've
been to weddings, so I have an opinion on them.
And it's like, but for the women in her life to go, let me see the ring, and then
be like, cute.
Cute.
I mean, I also think that this is is there more to it?
So my question is, how do I respond to that? Do I just not show them the ring? Do I just ignore it? I'm honestly proud of the life we've built together. I mean, you have a house, you had a wedding, you're 24, you're very young. It sounds great. But it hurts me to see people react that way, especially when he is around, because he was very happy with the choice of the ring he made. Also, aww. I love my ring. It fits my personality and style very well. Help me, please. Sincerely, the wife of a married couple who loves listening to your podcast. I really appreciate you guys listening. This email is very real.
Yes.
It's vulnerable. I believe every
this
word
is a great
she
email.
Said. She's not
good email alert.
See? Right, Shelby? So I don't. What I love about this email is sometimes someone's like, I love my ring. I don't care what anyone says. And you're like, I can feel this person is upset about the ring. This doesn't feel that way.
No. You are just looking for tools to deal with tools, essentially. Yeah. It's like what's happening. But like also like this is a product of Instagram and social media.
Yeah.
Like how many photos do we scroll through seeing these like giant ass rings on influencers or like people who are like deeply in debt.
And then put next to a fucking picture for something for size.
Yes, yeah, you got it for scale.
For scale, which is like crazy.
It's like holding a remote in a dick pic.
Yes. the female ring next to a flower is the dick next to the remote. It's crazy.
Just, and it's people get very, I mean, like, I don't know. Personally, I think when they like are like cute, you should be like, want to see the house?
Yeah.
Where's your house?
I don't even want to go down that road.
Don't be an, you know.
I mean... You know what's interesting to me? To me, this is like, you can look at it as a blessing too. Like, I these are the people you don't need in your life.
It is.
As sad as that's, and as extreme as that sounds, I can tell you, and Allison, I'm sure you'll agree with this, when you tell people you do comedy, it is a version of showing them your engagement ring.
Yes.
Because you're being vulnerable, you're saying... She when she shows someone her ring, that is whether you believe it or not, a vulnerable moment, no matter.
Absolutely.
Big or small. If it's big, you go, everyone has to go, wow.
Right.
What do you have? What's going on? The opposite reaction is happening as well.
Yeah.
It's like,
and also just like the act of asking to see it is very like, it's setting somebody up to have to like do something. Like you have to either be like, it's cute and not like it, or like, how big? Oh my God. Like, what are you going to say? Like, there's just no right answer.
Because people don't think of the questions they ask at a certain point. They'll ask a question and then forget, like, oh, I have to be responsible
for... Yeah, now I have to answer this.
And I have to be responsible for hearing the answer.
Yes, yes.
So I just think when you say to someone you do comedy, the strangest part, and it's only something you realize when you first start doing it, is that some people, it, like, offends them.
Yes.
Like, I've had people respond when I'm like, yeah, I'm a comedian. They'll go, really?
Right, right.
Like, well, tell me a joke. Or it's like...
Fill out a spreadsheet. What are we talking about?
Yeah. And it's like, but it also, a lot of it is that sometimes when you tell people, I have a theory that when you tell people you do comedy, it's the same thing as you saying, I think I'm funnier than you.
Yes. They think it's that.
Yeah. Like, that's how they take
that's
it.
That's how they take it.
And it's like for you, when you say, well, I'm married and let me see the rent, you know, there's a version of that where they're like,
insecurities.
Oh, cute.
Like I would guess that most of the people asking to see the ring do not have engagement rings.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, and all, you know, I think that that's them being jealous of the life you've built, and the ring is a perfect place to be able to like
take you down a peg. Yeah. And judge it. And say,
like, I don't know. I think just always responding with like how happy you are and how much you love it. And like, cause that's where you are. You're happy.
Yeah. I don't think there's a response you can give. I think people reveal themselves, believe them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that's like, this is a version of that. Like,
right. If somebody's behaving that way and saying that to you, then
we quote Maya Angelou a lot on this podcast.
I would imagine.
And this is the quote that I lean on the most, right?
I know why the caged freed sings.
This is exactly the case, Shelby. So for me, what she is seeing is who people really are and
right.
how they feel about you. And also that's their insecurities. And it's okay to be like, I just think there's nothing to say to that.
Yeah.
They're like, nothing that you say to it will make anything better.
No, they're still going to feel that way. You're still going to feel the way you feel about their reaction. It's kind of a no win.
It's a no, like the comedy thing. When you first start out, people are like telling me a joke and I actually would tell a joke. And it would be the most...
Oh, that's
in
so
the
embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. And I... Well, but this is the thing. And when I would first start, because you want to tell people, like, I'm doing this thing. I really am.
Right.
And so, you know, the analogy to the comedy thing where I'm saying, whenever I told the joke, it was a loss.
Yeah, right.
I never won that battle. So you, in the ring department, if you go... Well, where's your house?
Right.
Then they're going to go, well, how big's your fucking house? And then it goes down and down and down.
Like, it's a one-upsman game that, like, no one wins.
Never.
It's just...
That sucks. I can't believe... Oh, cute. Can you imagine?
Yes, I can.
JTrain Podcast @gmail.com. JTrain Podcast @gmail.com. Help can't get a match. Sup,
help.
Jared. Feather. This is a dude email.
Ooh, yeah. A dude email.
Huge fan of the pod. First time writing in. Recent grad here. Moved to a new city for my job. Been here about 2 months. I've gotten 2 matches on the apps. Before I had come out here, I had no trouble getting matches and going out with chicks.
Wait, where is he?
He's just said a new city.
A new city.
But here it just has not been working out. The competition is stiff out here. Lots of money, gym rats, and smoking chicks. I know I'm not the greatest guy, but still... 2 matches, really? LOL. Any advice you can give to help me more matches, meet some women out here? Thanks, JTran. Any thoughts?
I mean, I wish I knew the city. Feels like Los Angeles.
It feels LA-ish. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have an immediate answer because it's so hard to know, like...
We don't know what his profile looks like.
We don't know where you were before. We don't, like, it's just hard to...
I'll go off of the things I know.
Okay.
Okay? When I'm sent a match, a app makeover from men...
Yes.
And women, they're very... Two different very big themes.
Yes.
The men are too cocky, and the women aren't cocky enough.
Yes, yes.
So the women won't have an alone shot with their full body. They'll hide behind the friends.
Yes.
Sunglasses, half shots of just their face and the selfie. They'll hide.
Yeah.
The men do not fucking hide at all.
No.
And
here it is.
Here it is.
This is me.
I'm the fucking man. And this guy writes a very nice email.
Yes.
I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he's also 2 months out of graduate.
Yeah. You got a little
he
bit.
He said,
of...
recent grad, new city for my job, been here 2 months. So you're, let's say.
That's a tough age for men.
Very
in
tough.
A new
you're bottom
city.
Of the totem pole.
You're the lowest on the totem pole.
No and money. No, like, girls are just like, they can date up.
Yeah.
You can't date down because those girls are just in college.
Right.
But what I would say to him is, your profile is probably very college-ish.
Yes.
It's probably immature. And I'm not saying that you're an immature guy. It's just this is I just know people.
You've been doing well with a certain profile in a
yes.
certain world.
In a certain world.
I'm not even city, but a certain world.
Yes. The bubble that yes. we were just talking about. So
now you're in the mix with you're competing with people who make a ton of cash and are older and.
And also don't have a picture of them shotgunning a beer.
Right.
On someone, on some dude's shoulders.
Right.
And no girl thinks that guy has. You don't have to be on
that
the app to be.
That guy stops being cool the day you graduate.
The day you graduate. And you don't have to be on an app to be serious, but you have to be. You have to at least look like you could be serious.
Right.
I'm not saying you're lying to girls, but you have to let girls know that. You could be fixed up to a point that you could be a boyfriend.
Yes.
And you could be honest. You can go on the apps and say, hey, nice to meet you. Yeah. Let's go on a date. And then you can say, I'm looking for casual. And it's okay if you don't want that.
Yeah.
That's okay. But on your app, on your pictures, you have to look like someone who has the ability to be serious.
Right.
And a lot of the dude apps that they get out of college, you're still with the same pictures from college. And it's all just, to me, it looks like you're trying to get a bit at a fraternity with your dating app.
Yes.
A
and
lot
I feel
of these,
like, and yeah. like a lot, I feel like on apps, men look at women's pictures and say do I want to fuck her? And women look at guys' pictures and say, do I want to date him?
Yes.
And I think that you need to tailor your profile to be for dating, not for fucking.
Yes. That's the best advice he could get. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We got time for one more.
We do.
One more email.
Okay, one more.
Is this the same guy that does action movie trailers?
This is what it sounds like. I don't know where we found
this. In a world.
Okay, so what do we... I'll give you the choice.
Okay.
Should I get off the dating apps? Sexually frustrated female. She wrote in twice, too.
Oh, that sounds urgent.
Pageant talents. Slept with my guy friend who has a girlfriend.
Oof, that one feels heavy.
Swiping out of my league, a dude email. I've never lost a game of pre-relationship hot potato, and I refuse to start now.
I don't know what that is. I'd be into either the sexually frustrated female, the pageant talents, because I want to know where that goes, or getting off the apps. So I defer to you. Dealer's choice.
Sexually frustrated female, just because it's two emails?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Sexually
also,
frustrated.
I relate.
Yeah, listen. There's a lot of women are listening right now going, sexually frustrated female!
Tell us what to do!
Yeah. loving all your work, including the UF podcast, I met a guy through a mutual friend about 6 months ago. We hit it off and he got my number that night. We went on 3 dates. He didn't attempt to make a move on any of them. He then got swamped starting a new job, and I didn't see him for 2 months, but we still talked almost every day. I don't think much about it as we haven't even kissed. So I enjoyed my first single summer in over 3 years. After those 2 months, he asked me out and apologized for being so wrapped up in work. I went and had a great time. Fast forward, now we have gone on about 8 dates where he has slept over multiple times, and all we have done is kiss, which eventually took me to make the first move. I asked him about it, and he explained he is dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety in his personal life right now, but he is very much into me. I'm understanding of that. We got along really well on our dates, but I feel like I'm gaining nothing more than a friend. I am all for an emotional connection, but a girl's got to eat too. interested to hear what you think and if it's worth that to stick this out. I am skeptical of continuing to hang out and develop feelings for someone who hasn't been pursuing the physical side. Sincerely frustrated. Sorry, also should let you know. I'm a 24-year-old female living in a major city. Both of us are working professional jobs. What do we think?
It's tough. I mean,
6 months of this.
And like, no matter how much you like someone, if you're not having sex,
yeah,
like or whatever you need to like fulfill you sexually, then it ultimately isn't okay. Like that's part, like that's as like, I feel like people write off sex as being like, that's just set, but like it is like a really integral part of like being.
She had to make
somebody.
The first move to kiss him,
and he'd been sleeping over.
Yeah, I don't like.
Shelby's shaking his head.
Yeah, this is not Shelby.
Go for that belt.
Well, yeah, right. this isn't it.
You gotta move on. I think you've got a friend. If you want one, I don't know if you I don't know how much you like him and how hard that would be, but like.
A lot of people are embarrassed to end things because of sex stuff.
Yes.
Because they're like, well, that's not everything.
Right.
He
likes me so much and we get along so well. I get along with a lot of people.
Yeah.
If they're not fucking me and I want to date, like, then we're going to have to do something about
that. Yes. And also, a lot of women are afraid to, like, throw away good hands. She's like, he's got a job. He's a good guy. And it's like, yeah, but not the good guy for you.
Right.
You
still doesn't have.
Yeah. I just think you got to let this go and stop texting with him.
Yeah.
The fact that you were texting every day for 2 months. There's also the thought that he might have another girlfriend.
Of course.
So let me bring up the other things is he could have another girlfriend. He could be hooking up with someone and doesn't want to be that person that, like, you know, doesn't want to be having sex with two people at the same time.
But is happy to carry on an emotional relationship with you.
Exactly. It also could mean that he has an STD.
It could.
These are all in play.
Right.
I don't know what it is. It seems more innocent the way you write about him.
And I do know that, like, you know, who knows what his, like, anxiety. I mean, he could be on anxiety medications that bring down libido. Like, you don't know what's going on there.
And then the last thing is, the more sex gets put off from a guy's point of view, the more it feels like the sex becomes a contract.
Yes.
And, if you know, there might be a point where he's like, I'm backing away because I don't know if I want to be with you, and moving anything for. I mean, this is a kiss, which I can't.
Right.
The reason this is, I don't know if this is the case, but I just don't think this is the case because he just kissed.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you guys haven't even been naked, it sounds like, it means that maybe he's just not ready for sex.
Right. For whatever reason. Yeah, exactly. And it's not you.
No, it's not you.
He wouldn't be sleeping over in your bed if he didn't like. He clearly does like you.
But yeah.
If you need sex, which you do from a partner.
Sure.
Then.
This relationship is never going to be what you want it to be. And sex, honestly, is one of those things that's like, it's a lot like eating, where you're like, I got to eat.
Yeah.
And eating with someone.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, are we going to the same place?
You can masturbate every day and it's not the same. Like, it really, I mean, it's just not.
And also, you have to be like on the same page with someone. Like it's like going to eat
with someone. This isn't going to go become like a fireworks. Like,
no.
You're not going to go from this to like, you guys are fucking all the time. He's great at going down.
Orgasming all the time.
Yeah. It's not going to make that jump.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Allison Leiby, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
At Allison Leiby on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow. Go support at Allison Leiby. October 22nd, President's Show. Shelby, we got some news?
We do.
Yay. Pix 11.
Jared, you ever used the psychic?
I have not. Have you?
I mean, I haven't. Allison, psychic?
I think I went to one with friends once, like one of those, like, just in the city. We were like, I don't know, it's $5. Let's see what she has to say.
Really?
Great. Just like to be like, whatever, what is this? I want to know what they talk about.
What do they do?
Like, it was more like an investigation.
Do you remember it?
No, it was years and years ago. And I, you know, it was something like, you're not doing the thing you want to do, or what. It was some like vague garbage that if you said it to anybody, it would apply.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
that's
what I thought this would be.
Okay. You will see rain this month. So what's with the psychic?
Well, a Maryland psychic.
Oh, I love this story. I go on.
Psychic in Maryland is a bit of a scammer, and she's going to prison because of it. For 6 years after scamming customers out of $340,000.
How? Aren't all of them scammers, technically?
Technically.
I mean.
But how much did you take her for?
I think it was like five people for $340,000.
Okay, that's on them.
That's a different scam. US. That's not hour. She's not getting $300,000 an hour.
Right. The psychic usually goes, you pay me some cash. I tell your fortune. We part ways.
Yeah. What was she doing?
This woman named Gina Marie Marks, who told people her name was Natalie Miller.
Okay.
Which that kind of was weird. Like.
Yeah. Having a. Yeah.
Like, oh, Gina, that's not believable psychic name, but Natalie. Oh, now I'll listen. She told her, like, people, okay, I'll read your fortunes. And then she said, like, people that said they had a recent breakup, she would go, I think he's actually still into you. And I can really, like, help you with this.
See,
and
we can try to get him. And this was all. He's doing this with women, right?
Oh, yeah. Only the ladies.
It's crazy that, you know, it kind of leads back to the thing we were talking about with the ring, where it's like we're all in this comparative mode where women are going fucking, you know, not going crazy, but I don't know a better way to say that. Just going crazy with keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And I'm sure these women aren't like out of their mind.
No,
they go to the woman.
They're just like looking for like help and reassurance. It's just money that should have been spent on a therapist and not
a psychic.
Well, the thing was, she said, like, you need to give me this. She had several tactics. One of them being, you need to give me this large amount of money. I'll cast a love spell on it, and we'll put it in like this special place, and the money will be like cleaned, and then.
So she was laundering money?
Well,
spiritual
laundering.
Spiritual money laundering.
Like, oh, well, then I'll give it back to you. It'll be a thing.
Oh,
she
so that's
never
a whole.
Gave it back. But then she had, like, people, and one of the main ways she got caught, there was a 26-year-old Chinese immigrant who she, like, had her meter at a store with her credit card and was, like, using it, and she gave her $80,000.
What?
When she tried to get it back, she wouldn't, so she called investigators. This woman, Marks, when she was caught at the airport trying to flee the country.
Really?
That sounds
I wish I could see what she looks like.
Yeah.
I'll pull up an image.
Well, because I would think that a part of this scam is that she has to look like kooky psychic lady.
Yes, yes. And like believably insane.
Yeah, she's going to have like trinkets and capes
and
stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm imagining a lot of like caftans and sandals jewelry.
How ridiculous.
She's like just shopping at Chico's.
Yeah. She's hanging at Chico's every day with her $300,000. How crazy, though, do you feel if you're sitting where you're like, I just need love in my life. And you're like, I'm going to the psychic. I know it's nuts.
Right.
And then the psychic looks at you and goes, he still likes you. And you're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And also, what doesn't help this is the guy's probably still texting.
Oh, he probably is kind of just like back burnering.
Like, hypothetically, some of the people that write in here, I could go to them, he likes you.
Yeah.
I could lie. I could say,
yes.
She could be like, he keeps texting me.
You
I don't
occupy
know.
A very similar role.
This is what I'm saying. I feel like I'm the psychic because with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
So people could email here and go, hey, this guy's been texting me late night every night. And I'll go, I think he likes you. I think. And then, hey, you know what you can do?
Venmo me $10,000.
Venmo me $10,000.
Yeah.
I'll text with him. I'll talk with him.
Right.
And then I go, you know.
And then you just take $10,000.
Then I just take $10,000. I go, yeah, he said he didn't like you. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we stumbled upon a new business opportunity.
But I'm saying this woman, people would look at this story and go,
yes.
How could that woman be so dumb to give another a psychic $80,000?
Yeah,
and it's like we're close.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah, it's not so insane.
It's not so insane, especially because the men unknowingly. Probably unknowingly
are participating
in this. They're being
they
like,
have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, they're sending a you up text, and she's going, the psychic said he'd do it.
The love spell on my $80,000 works.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, I'm just horny.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a blowjob.
Mark's doing the always great look of hiding under a coat while entering the courtroom.
Oh, she doesn't want to be seen.
Said people are racist against gypsies. They're.
That is the perfect response.
Yes, exactly.
Nothing
what
is
she
more
should.
2018 yes. than that. Hey, how do I get out of this?
People are racist against gypsies.
They're racist on my culture. We do have power. We're not allowed to talk about it. It's like Fight Club.
Yeah.
And no. this is...
How did the judge not laugh the...
Oh, look at her. She does have psychic face.
She looks like someone.
Right?
We know.
She... Does she?
I think.
Oh.
Say it or bleep it.
No.
No. She's pretty. I mean...
But she's pretty in that kooky psychic way.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean?
She's got crazy eyes.
This... She's blonde and she's got... Big
she's got
lips.
A nice diamond necklace that she used with that psychic money.
Yeah, probably. She's holding a scepter. No. Well, Shelby, thank you for bringing that story. Do we have any more news?
We do. I'd hate to close on a sad note, but...
But, you know, sometimes you got to do it.
This is hard to talk about, but have you heard of Maurizio Zanfanti?
I don't know Maurizio Zanfanti, but
no.
He sounds like a great guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's just an accountant, right?
Have you ever been to Italy, either one of you guys?
I have been to Italy. Have you?
Through some airports.
Have you been to Rimini, Italy?
Never been to Rimini.
Well, Maurizio Zanfanti, a.k.a. the Romeo of Rimini.
Oh, the Romeo of Rimini. What a great name.
Who has claimed to have slept with more than 6,000 women.
There's not even enough time.
6,000
There's not enough time
women.
To do that.
Has passed away at age 63 while having sex in the back of a car with a 23-year-old tourist.
Wow.
A car?
63 with a 23-year-old?
Oh, God.
In the back of a car. This guy must have been the pickup
She's
artist
She's on a tour of Italy.
Time. Tour of Italy. She had to meet the Romeo.
Ugh, what 63. I want to see a photo.
Let's see a picture of him.
This is him and his heyday.
Oh, of course.
He looks like the Romeo of Rimini at that point, but he couldn't have looked that way anymore.
I don't have a picture of the deceased currently, but...
I love that he died doing what he loved.
Yes. Honestly, best case scenario for me is I die fucking.
Yeah, right?
But not a 23-year-old. As a woman, it doesn't sound fun.
Well, imagine being that 23-year-old.
Oh, my God. If That's somebody died horrifying. On you while having sex in a car in another country.
A 63-year-old?
A 63-year-old.
Like, imagine her.
Then also, you have to tell your parents, like, how was Italy? an old man died on me while fucking in a car.
Imagine.
But the pasta was so good.
Well, to empathize with the 23-year-old girl a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to Italy. You're in this small town. He's 63. It's kind of gross, but you know what?
You're in Europe.
You're in Europe, and no one will know. I'm just going to go. I'll fuck this guy.
Yeah.
He's the role.
Look,
he has a nickname.
We've all done those kinds of things.
Yeah, like, this is the thing. Like, I do understand for her being like, this is going to be awesome.
Yes.
Like,
it's a story.
It's a story.
Like, boy, is it.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, she's like, who will find out? This is a story I'll tell to close friends.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he dies while, I'm guessing he's not on top. Like, I'm guessing that he's like.
No, I got to imagine he's not doing a ton of the heavy lifting.
No.
At this point,
so she's
at
on top
63.
Of him. And then she has to, like, find out
you have
he's
to
dead.
Get you'd have to climb out from underneath.
And cars in Italy are not big.
No, it's what was it, a smart car? Like,
she's in the back of
is it a Vespa?
Alfa Romeo.
A car, I mean, they're all on scooters.
He moved there in the 70s to become like a nightclub promoter. He was 17, and his job was to just hang out in the street, get these tourists to come in the club.
When I was abroad in Florence, these people exist.
And yeah.
At his height, he was. Slaying 200 women in a summer.
That actually makes some sense to me.
I believe it.
Because I believe it too. First of all, when I was abroad in Florence, you can't even talk to women from Italy unless you know the language.
Yes.
So for this guy, he's a safe adventure.
Yes.
Because he's American, right?
Oh, Maurizio Zanfanti?
No, I think he just moved to another town.
But he knows how to speak English.
Yeah.
So he knows how to speak English. He can talk to these girls from America that are there abroad.
Yeah.
He can speak Italian. He'll show them around. He has probably places that he brings. I get it.
I get it.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's funny that this girl now has to like, I mean, having a moment. I just fucking the 63-year-old.
Did she call the cops? Like, what happened? Like,
that's how George Pryor's dad died.
Really?
Having sex with a much younger woman.
Really?
Yeah.
And also, she's got to kind of be like, I killed him.
Yeah.
like I'm that good.
How was the sex?
He slept with 6,000 women. Yeah. Because you got to look at him and be like,
horse.
Yeah. I did it.
He's
definitely
doing a lot of cocaine.
Of course.
Don't die at 63.
It was so famous that in Sweden, they erected a wax statue of him.
Come on.
Ew.
Yep.
Erected is the main word.
Yes.
Shelby, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks for having me.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You got to follow Shelby on Instagram.
Follow Classic Shelb on Instagram. Just do it. It's free. You don't have to be difficult about this.
Yeah. So thank you, Classic Shelb. Go follow. Allison, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
At Allison Libby on Twitter and Instagram. Go follow. Go support. This was so much fun.
So
always
fun.
A blast. I'm Jared Free.
Podcast successfully recorded.
We did it. At Jared Freed on Instagram. Go follow. I'm here every Tuesday and Friday. Keep telling your friends. Keep spreading your word about the podcast. We'll be back next episode. Boom.